Redbird Roundtable with Burns and Gambo, presented by Canvas Annuity on 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Tyler Drake from ArizonaSports.com, Gambo, myself, the three of us talking about this game. Coming up on Monday night, 6:15. In fact, Brian Griese, who's going to be calling the game for Monday Night Football, will be joining us a half hour from right now. We'll get his thoughts about the Cards and the Rams and what he's looking for. Before we take a look at the Rams, Gambo, I'm going to start with you on this one. We've had a lot of J.J. Watt conversation over the last week or so since it was announced that they were opening the window for his return. We continue to hear very good things about the limited work that he's doing. It feels like we're on pace for J.J. to make an appearance, and certainly the most important thing about what he's done the last couple of days is no setbacks.
It's the number one thing you hear that you look for. Like, right? We've been around the block enough to know that when guys are coming back, that's what you look for. Did he have a setback? Did he leave early? Was he not able to make it through a practice? He's been able to get through a couple practices with no setbacks. That's trending towards being able to play. Now, there's still a few days left, so nobody's going to report anything. They'll take it right down to the wire because they can. There's no reason for anybody in that organization to say, J.J. Watt's good, he's cleared, he's playing today. This guy hasn't played football in 3 months. He's getting himself back in shape and getting ready and getting the reps in. They will wait it out, and on Monday, we will know if J.J. Watt's going to play. I believe it's trending in the right direction. It looks like he's going to play. I would say probably right now he's going to play,
yeah.
But nobody can report anything at this point because we have to wait until Monday.
And if I remember right, Tyler, they literally can wait until Monday, like 4 hours before kickoff if they want, right? They're in absolutely no rush to announce this. We were talking about this earlier. There was I think it was Bucky Brooks on NFL.com who was giving out his X factors for each team, and he made J.J. Watt his X factor, and he said, look, all he has to do, we're talking about 20 snaps in obvious pass rush situations. That's it. 20. And he can impact a game. He can touch a game if he just does that. Now, I think that's on the very conservative side of what J.J. could do out there. I don't know what's going on with his health, but it seems to me if 20 is where we're setting the bar, that seems like something he should be able to do. We don't know for sure, right? But it seems like something he should be able to do.
Yeah. And you would think if the bar is set at 20, J.J. probably has it. He's probably doubled that.
Right. That's what I was thinking, right? Like if Bucky Brooks is saying 20, J.J.'s going, yeah, okay, I'll see you 20, and I'll raise you 20.
That's
his
bulletin board material right there.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing. Yeah. That's the kind of thing. Right, Gambo?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't think you set a limit. I think if you can play, you play. And if he needs to come out, he'll come out. I mean, this is win or go home. So I don't think you're going to sit there, and you don't know until he goes out there and plays. But he said it, right? His conditioning with the legs is fine.
Yes.
His leg wasn't hurt. He's been able to run. And so he's been able to condition himself. So if he plays, if he does play, I would think, if you set the over-under on 20 snaps, I would say over.
Yeah.
Yep.
Let's talk about this Rams team a little bit. We all know the whole storyline is centered around the quarterback of Matthew Stafford. It's not just about that, but we're so hyper-focused on that because of the failures there. But a lot of people, and Tyler, I'll start with you on this one, are looking at the Rams, and it's easy to get wowed by 12 wins. It's hard to win 12 games in this league, even with an additional 17th game. But if you really dive deeper into what they've done and who they've done it against, it's not the most impressive 12-win slate you're going to see, right? I mean, two wins against playoff teams, Tampa Bay in Week 3, and the Cardinals, who kind of started their slow fade when they played the Rams on Monday Night Football. It's not the most impressive 12-win slate, right?
And let's remember, too, I think this gets overlooked by a lot when we're talking about this, is Week 14 was really, it was only a touchdown game, and for as bad as the Cardinals played, as bad as they looked, it was literally just a touchdown game. So I think that has more backing than I think a lot of people think it does. But I think the track record speaks for itself. It's almost like looking at the Eagles. I mean, the Eagles are in the playoffs, and I don't think they beat a team over, what, 8 wins?
No, I don't think. Yeah. Dallas hasn't beaten, one playoff team since Week 7, and the one team they beat was Philly, who's probably not that good either. Gambo, when you look at the Rams and their 12 wins, does it knock your socks off? Does it blow you away what they've been able to do this year?
Look, we got to say it's impressive. I mean, 12 wins it's impressive. I mean, how many times in the history of the Rams have they won 12 games? You got to beat the teams that are in front of you. And there was a lot of bad teams in the NFL. And listen, they played the Cardinals. They split with them. They have this thing against the 49ers. They just can't beat the 49ers. So, yeah, I'm impressed. I mean, to say 12 wins doesn't impress you, I think it's foolish to say that it doesn't impress you. I don't think any of us think that the winner of this game is going to win next week, no matter who it is. If it's the Cardinals or the Rams, I don't think we'll be predicting that that team's going to get on a roll and win the next few games. You could absolutely look at the opponents, and I could look at that game that Tyler's talking about. And, you know, Cooper Kupp went crazy, but they also had a great touchdown on Van Jefferson, and Odell Beckham Jr. had 6 catches on 7 targets, and he was good, and it was still a 7-point game. So I don't expect a blowout either way in this game, but I think we got to give some credit to 12 wins. I mean, it's not easy to win 12 football games.
No, you're right. I'm not trying to completely disparage 12 wins. I guess it sounded like I was. It's just that when you start really looking at a team,
do a deep dive.
Who did you beat? Who did you lose to? Right? And you start doing that with the Rams. Yeah, there's some soft spots there. And going back, and I know it's probably foolish to do this too, but to Tyler's point, going back to that game, statistically speaking, I'm talking about the one in Week 14 on Monday Night Football. Man, Kyler Murray, from a production stat, 383 yards. Yeah, he had the 2 interceptions, and those were obviously killers. He ran for 61 yards. For as much pressure as he was under from Aaron Donald and that defense, statistically speaking, Kyler was productive in some, maybe not all, but in some of the elements that you would want a quarterback to be in that game.
Yeah, 100% he was, and that was it. But that's the thing is Kyler and turning the ball over. I mean, more times than not, it's not going to result in a good result, much like Stafford, really. So it's interesting to see how much these interceptions are really tied to these guys' records this year.
Yeah. We had Steve Keim on the show earlier, Gambo, and he kind of, and this is something you and I have talked about a couple times as well when talking about Kyler, kind of wondering out loud if we're going to see more of Kyler as the runner this week. And that was something that Steve brought up on his own. What did you make of that, and do you think that is something we're going to see a little more of, maybe a little more reckless Kyler Murray on Monday, you know?
I think we could, right? I think we could, because it's a weapon that the Cardinals have that the Rams don't have. It's a weapon. Now, if you get James Conner and Chase Edmonds back and you're able to run the ball successfully, you might. But I still think, like, if you set the over-under on runs on Kyler Murray at 4, I'd probably take the over. I'd probably take one. You're going to be running around trying to get away from Aaron Donald. But I do think that in a win-or-go-home situation, Kyler's never been in that situation as a pro, where if you lose this football game, you're done, your season's done, nobody on your team is playing next week. I think that we'll see Kyler on a couple of design plays by Cliff and then a couple of plays on his own get out there. Now, I still think he's going to go down and not take the punishment, but I'd be surprised if he runs less than 4 times in that football game.
Tyler's in here nodding his head. May you agree with that? More running, Kyler?
I just think, and when we talked to him, I mean, he even said, he's like, I've got no fear for this game. I know these are the big games. And that's when this offense is really at its best, is when they can get a good balance of, you know, him throwing it through the air and adding a couple runs on the ground just to keep the defense honest. And with a couple of those guys banged up on the Rams side, I mean, I think Kyler's going to come out there and really be aggressive and almost play like a Buddha does and just run at somebody as fast as he can, but it's going to be the opposite of him just going to try to pick up that first down as fast as he can. And who knows, he might be able to shift one way and bust it into a huge gain. So that's what you get when Kyler starts using his legs. And I don't think they need to overdo it, but I think for sure it's going to be more than 4 carries, like you said, Gambo.
All right, Tyler, you're heading out to L.A., right? You and Bick are on your way to L.A.? All right, so read all your coverage at ArizonaSports.com. Tyler will have it. Bick will have his column from L.A. Enjoy the trip.
Thank you.
And thanks for staying around a little late for us on a Friday night. We appreciate it.
No problem. Always looking forward to it.
All right, Tyler Drake from ArizonaSports.com. Gambo and I continue here on the Burns and Gambo Show as we wrap up our Redbird Roundtable, but we are not done talking about this game. You can watch the Cards-Rams game on Monday at your nearest Cold Beers and Cheeseburgers. It's the Big Red Viewing Party. For more info, check out coldbeers.com, Four Peaks Brewing Company. It's an official partner of the Arizona Cardinals. Always enjoy responsibly. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo Show, Vance Joseph What does he expect from J.J. Watts in what could be his first game back off of that injury? You'll hear from the Cards DC next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Football Friday with Burns and Gambo. Presented by 72 Sold. Get your price. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Completely unrelated to the Cardinals and the Rams, Gambo?
Yes.
Chip Kelly got a new four-year contract with UCLA.
Did he really?
There was a lot of speculation that Chip Kelly, that wasn't going to end well for both sides, and no one was quite sure what was going to happen there with Chip and UCLA. He gets a new four-year contract through 2025. He's making like $4.5 million
wow.
to stay at UCLA. So,
all right. Lincoln Riley and Chip Kelly. Let's go.
Go fix L.A. Go fix L.A.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Chip Kelly, you know, there's some guys that just lose their magic when they leave. He had that magic. He left Oregon. He hasn't been able to get it back.
That's 100%.
Mike Montgomery. Remember Mike Montgomery, the coach?
Yeah, he was magic, and then he left
magic.
And just never
magic
was the same.
Magic, and just you come, these guys come back, and they're just, they don't have that. They don't have it anymore. So I think Lincoln Riley, I think we're looking at Lincoln Riley at saving Pac-12 football.
I think so, too, and I think crazy as it might sound, I think he's actually got a real good chance of doing it. Suns basketball is underway. They're in Indiana right now. Game tipped
Let's
off
go.
About 10 minutes ago. Suns are up 12-8 with about 7 minutes to
call,
go.
Call the game right now. No, I'm teasing.
No, I'm not going to do that. All right, Vance Joseph today, Cardinals defensive coordinator. We just got done talking in our Redbird roundtable about J.J. Watt. Did they increase Watt's workload in practice today? Here's Vance Joseph.
Kind of the same as yesterday. You know, we knew it was going to be a week-long process to kind of figure out how much Jay can play or if he can play at all. You know, and that process is still going on. You know, hopefully tomorrow we can kind of give him more football activity and make a decision by Monday. But, you know, right now he's had no setbacks, and, you know, obviously he wants to play, but it's going to be a week-long process, guys.
No setbacks.
No setbacks. I'm not going to say no reason to say anything. No reason to say he's in. He's good. He's going to play. You've got more time. There's nothing gained or lost by saying he's going to play or not. You just want to make sure that he's good to go. You get to Monday, and he's gone through a week of practice, and his body's responding well, and he feels good that he's playing in a game. But the, you know, the one thing that is this, you know, you always look for it. Is there a setback? Did he have to leave practice early? Does he have to go to the training room? Did he have to work on the side? Like, there's all these things you look for to see if that, you know, to see it. But everything has been good with J.J. Watt so far. So it's trending in the right direction. I mean, I'd say he's probably going to play, but we have to wait until Monday to see what the Cardinals say about it.
Yeah, and then when asked about the benefit of Watt potentially coming back.
Well, with J.J., first of all, I think just Jay's present, Josh, you know, helps guys play with more intensity. You know, obviously having one more good player, you know, rushing the passer and playing on first, second down is always a good thing. You know, I mean, he is a great player. He's a Hall of Fame player. You know, so if he's one-on-one and doing pass downs, he's going to win most of his one-on-ones. And the energy he brings, the fire he brings to the defense is unquestionable. So to have him is a huge lift.
And we'll just see how much they get out of him, assuming he plays. And I don't want to, you know, we don't know for sure that he will. But if he does play, we'll see how much they're able, how many times 99 is out there on the field for the Cards. It could. There's a lot of things that could be an X factor in this game. J.J. Watt is certainly one of them. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, and it's, listen, I mean, it could go either way. I mean, J.J. Watt could go out there and make an impact, you know, and have a sack and a forced fumble and be disruptive and be in the backfield a bunch of times and have a couple tackles for loss. You know, or J.J. Watt could go out there and be invisible, right? And be, look, he played 25 snaps and he had two tackles and no forced fumbles and no sacks and no quarterback pressure. So, you know, I don't know what to expect with J.J. Watt. I think it could go either way with J.J. Watt. He's a very talented player, 3-time Defensive Player of the Year. You hope that he can come out there and give you a lift, but there's always the chance that he goes out there and he doesn't.
And I'm glad you said it, because, look, we're all kind of operating under this assumption that if J.J. Watt plays, that he's going to go out there and he's going to touch this game. You know, that he's going to – and he might not. You know, he might – it might be too much to ask for him to come out and deeply impact this game the way we expected J.J. Watt to, where we don't – you don't put all your eggs into the J.J. Watt being the guy kind of basket going into this game. You're going to have to rely on other things to happen. And part of that is the secondary. And here's Vance Joseph giving his update on the cornerback spot.
Absolutely. Marco's practiced all week. Hamilton's back out there. He's been healthy the last couple of weeks. KP made it out of the protocol, so he's back at practice. So we should be at pretty much full strength. You know, adding Breland a couple of weeks ago, he's obviously getting reps now. So we are in a good, you know, good spot at corner, you know, going to this game on Monday.
Wow. We're in a good spot at corner.
I'm sorry, I'm laughing.
Why?
I'm laughing because at the Suns-Pacers game, I'm sorry, I just got totally distracted by a squirrel here. But the Indiana Pacers have somebody walking around in a blow-up dinosaur costume.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? You're kidding me.
No, I'm serious.
I got to turn
this
game on.
There's somebody walking around in, like, a big blow-up dinosaur costume at the Pacers game.
They also played the Jurassic Park theme song for intros for Devin Booker.
Did they really?
Yeah. I saw that on Twitter.
That's fantastic. That's great. See, this is great. This is fun.
This is good.
Yeah, wow. I mean, the now these opposing teams have something to kind of.
Book should have just said, "I'm afraid of dinosaurs. I have a phobia of dinosaurs."
Kind of like Bob Melvin used to hate clowns. Remember that?
Right.
Yeah.
So Jurassic Park when I was a kid. I've been scared ever since. Dinosaurs scare me. So that's just it. That's it. We're done. Okay, he's afraid of dinosaurs.
The Jurassic Park theme song and a dinosaur walking around right
now. It's working because
this is greatly helping his publicity.
Oh, there's no question about that. Yeah, and what Gambo was saying, he just shot a brick for a three. So it's 14-11 right now, 5 minutes to go in the game. So anyway, back to the cornerback position. And KP is Kevin Peterson working his way out of the concussion protocol. And it does sound like Breland is going to be in the mix, even though they just signed him. And he should be in the mix. He's a veteran guy, like you say, who might be able to bring something to the table when they need it.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, based on, you know, if it's your fifth or sixth guy or it's Breshad Breland, you know, this guy is a veteran player. He's been in the league for a long time. You always question, why is a guy like that available this late in this, right? He got cut. The Cardinals looked at him once before, but he had a terrible, terrible foot injury. But they had brought him in a few years ago and took a look at him, decided not to sign him. It's just that he had a terrible foot injury. And now, you know, but now he's healthy and he played. And you just have to think, this is, you look at a Breshad Breland, look, one game, man. Give me everything you got for one game. And if I'm Breshad Breland, I'm like, I want to prove that I can play next year. I want to play well so I get a contract. I mean, if he can help you on a few plays and help you in this one, you're not looking for 17 games out of Breshad Breland.
No, no.
But you're looking right now, you're looking for one game. Can he be better than some of the guys you have for one game?
Yeah, hearing Vance Joseph say they're going to be full strength or they're getting close to full strength at the cornerback position, that is really good news to hear, encouraging news to hear, because that position has just been so thinned out over the last couple of weeks. We'll see what difference it makes on Monday. This game is in many ways going to come down to the two guys under center. So who is under the most pressure and who's going to respond to that better? The guy making his debut or the guy who's never won in the playoffs? We'll talk to the guy who's calling the game, who spent a lot of time under center as well. Brian Griese is going to join us next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Football Friday with Burns and Gambo. Presented by 72 Sold. Get your price. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
For the first time since 2015, the Cardinals are in the playoffs, and for the first time ever, they're playing a playoff game on Monday Night Football, 6:15 local time kickoff, the Cardinals and the Rams. And joining us right now on the 72 Sold Sports Line, part of the team from Monday Night Football on ESPN and ABC that will be calling that game, we're happy to welcome to the show Monday Night Football analyst Brian Griese, who joins us here on the Burns and Gambo Show. Brian, I'm Dave. This is Gambo. Welcome to the show. We appreciate your time, especially this late on a Friday night. Thank you.
Yeah, my pleasure, guys. Looking forward to a wild Monday night, that's for sure.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing, Brian, what you think of this Cardinal team. Because, you know, even when the Cardinals were 7-0, there were a lot of national media that just didn't buy in. They didn't believe this team was a legitimate Super Bowl contender. They didn't trust Kliff. They might not have trusted Kyler. And you know, maybe they're right. The Cardinals, you know, failed down the stretch. They struggled. But give me your thoughts. When this team was rolling and they got off to that great start, did you think they were a legitimate contender?
Yeah, I think you had to look at what happened last year, guys. That's why everybody was reserved in buying into this team. Because you know, winning in the NFL is a season-long process. It's a sustained process of consistency. And we hadn't seen that from Arizona. And we hadn't seen it from Cliff. We hadn't seen it from Kyler. And we wanted that box to be checked this year. That's what everybody was looking for. And losing 4 out of 5, you know, on the way into the playoffs certainly did not check that box. That being said, you know, it's a new season. And I think we've heard that from Kyler this week. And they understand that. And the opportunity that presents itself to them. Listen, if they win in the playoffs, everybody forgets what happened the last month of the regular season. It means nothing. It's going to be a little bit more difficult as a wild card team as opposed to being a division champion. But they're still in the tournament, and that's really what you could ask for.
Yeah, and that was Gambo kind of led me into to my first question for you was just for as long as you've been doing this, both as a player and a broadcaster, how much carryover is there really from how you end a regular season to how you start a postseason? Is there they've lost 4 of 5? Is that relevant to this conversation, or does it become forgotten about the minute they kick the ball off?
No, I don't. I don't think it's forgotten about. I mean, listen, it's in the back of every guy's head, and you know, certainly if things go great in the first half and you're up by 17, and you don't think about it, but you definitely think about it if things aren't going well, because there's a reason why you lost 4 of the last 5. But at the same time, in my experience, playing 11 years, you know, being a part of this broadcast, you know, it's hard to flip the switch. It's really hard to flip the switch. Now, this is a talented team, you can get a shot in the arm by getting a J.J. Watt back. You can get a shot in the arm by Kyler continuing to playing turnover-free football. You get a shot in the arm by getting a guy like James Conner back and having a 1-2 punch with Chase Edmonds and running the football and controlling the clock and time of possession and those things. So there's definitely a way for this team to win Monday night and get that shot in the arm. But I don't think you just completely disregard the way that the regular season ended.
Well, one of the ways they could win is another poor performance by Matthew Stafford, who has thrown a lot of interceptions this year, tied with Trevor Lawrence. I think he had 17. He's thrown a lot of pick sixes. He is a guy been in the league since 2009. He's never won a playoff game. You got to think that psychologically that's in his head a little bit. Are you more of the belief that Stafford can win a game for the Rams or that he can lose a game for the Rams?
Well, he can do both. I mean, there's no question about it. I mean, he can do both. There's no question that the quarterback in the postseason this year with the most pressure is Matthew Stafford. And that's what the Cardinals have going for him. Okay, there's a lot of pressure there. He was brought there for a reason. This team went to the playoffs a year ago with Jared Goff, won a playoff game with John Wolford. And so if they don't win this game, you're making a direct comparison to what happened a year ago. And you could argue they added even more talent with OBJ and Von Miller and others. So clearly there's pressure on Matthew Stafford. But at the same time, yes, he has thrown multiple interceptions in his last 3 games out. They took a gut punch a week ago against the 49ers. I'm interested to see if that lingers. But I think that makes it even more important for the Cardinals to get off to a fast start and play from ahead and use that running game and put that pressure on Matthew Stafford. Because if you don't, you saw what happened in the last outing on Monday Night Football when Matthew Stafford did not get pressured and he threw the ball 13 times to Cooper Kupp, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions, and they won that game. So he can win you the game, and he can lose it. There's no question.
Brian Griese, he's going to be calling the game on Monday night for ESPN, Monday Night Football Analyst. He joins us here on the Burns and Gambo Show, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. I know you touched on Kyler. We talked about Kyler a little bit. But for him, given that we all anticipate he is the franchise quarterback for the Cardinals for the next several years, if not the next decade, what are you going to be looking for out of him on Monday night in terms of his confidence, his comfort level, his ability to lead this offense? We're all very curious what Kyler's going to do in his first playoff start. What are you going to be watching for that night, Brian?
The most important thing to me, guys, is the end of game and being clean in the end of game, making the right decisions, getting in the right play, protecting the football, managing the clock, understanding situational football. You know, the way that the game ended the last time these two teams met did not make me feel confident in what Arizona is doing. Between Cliff and Kyler, they need to be clean. They need to understand and have prepared for those situations and decisions. The playoffs magnify every single decision a coach makes and a quarterback makes. There's no question about it. And the first time for both of these men on this stage, that's what I'm looking for. And that's the area of growth for both of them. And until they experience that and they're on that stage and they show that they can do it, everybody's going to have questions about that. So this is their first opportunity, and that's the number one thing I'm looking for.
Brian, give me the thought of a quarterback. Aaron Donald, the first game the Cardinals won, they contained Aaron Donald. The second time they played him, he was the NFC Defensive Player of the Week. He had 3 sacks. He had 14 pressures. Well, as a quarterback, what does Kyler Murray want? Does he want a tight end in to help? Does he want an extra offensive lineman? And, I mean, is there a way to kind of neutralize Aaron Donald, or do you just accept the fact that he's going to be in a backfield half the time?
Well, the biggest difference, guys, is the first game, Arizona ran the ball for over 200 yards. And the second game, they turned it over twice, and they didn't have that running game, and they dropped back to throw the football. If you think you're going to get into a drop-back passing game against the L.A. Rams with Aaron Donald, Von Miller, Leonard Floyd, then you got another thing coming. And if that's the game, you might as well just pack up and say sayonara to the season, because that is the absolute worst way to play the L.A. Rams. And that's why Aaron Donald – listen, the reason why is because they were down 2 touchdowns early. You had the tip interception when they're going in to make it a 10-0 game, and Aaron Donald tips it, and Ernest Jones returns it, right? Then you have the tip interception from Leonard Floyd. Those two plays were the difference in that game and made Arizona play from behind, and that played right into the lap of Aaron Donald. So you have to have a running game. That's why I think James Conner being healthy is such an important piece. And then when you do have to throw it, you better get it out of your hands quick. You better give some help, whether it's Pugh, whether it's Harlow, whether it's Garcia. They have to have help from Rodney Hudson at the center position on Aaron Donald. You cannot block him singled up, and understanding that. And then the last piece, when it breaks down, Kyler's got to make him miss and make a play. He did that in the first meeting, he didn't do it as consistently in the second meeting. That'll be a big factor in the game.
Last one for Brian Griese, ESPN Monday Night Football analyst. Let's talk quickly about J.J. Watt. You referenced him earlier. We don't know for certain that he's going to play on Monday. It continues to trend well in that direction. We're waiting to see exactly how he can touch and impact this game. Do you have a feel as to how he could impact this game on Monday?
I don't know how anybody could know exactly how he could impact the game. I mean, well, I hope he plays. I really want to see him play. What he's doing in coming back from that injury is unprecedented. I've never seen something like that before. Now, that being said, you know, my question would be the strength. You know, he's going to be in shape and all of that, but the strength to come off the ball and to bench press a 330-pound offensive lineman and shed that block and make a tackle and extend that arm on a running back and Sony Michel, whoever it is, and make that tackle. That's what we don't know. I hope that he can impact the game. I would imagine, you know, if he's on a pitch count, maybe they put him in there in passing situations to get that pressure from the inside to marry with what Chandler Jones and Marcus Golden do on the edge. But I don't think that anybody knows really what J.J. Watt's going to be able to do until we get into the game on Monday night.
Brian, safe travels into the Valley. Always enjoy having you on the show and always enjoy your work on Monday Night Football. Really appreciate your time tonight. And, again, enjoy your trip here to Phoenix, okay?
All right, I think I'm going to go to L.A. instead of Phoenix.
I'm sitting here listening to him.
Honest to God, that is the dumbest thing I've ever said in my life.
I'm sitting here and I wanted to correct him, but I'm thinking maybe he knows something and you're stopping here to see a family member or something before you go to L.A.?
I mean,
did you think they beat Seattle last week?
We were talking so much about the last time they met when Brian was here. Man, that is the dumbest thing I've said in my 25 years, and I've been doing this a long time. Yeah,
I agree.
It was dumb.
That was dumb.
Yeah, it was dumb. Brian, don't hold that against me the next time you come on the show.
I love coming to the Valley there, but you know, I think I'll come maybe in a couple of weeks. Or so.
Listen, the way the Cardinals played at home, we're glad you're not coming to the Valley.
Don't hold that one against us, Brian. I apologize. I'll be better next time. Jeez almighty. Thank you, sir.
No worries, guys. Enjoy the game Monday night. Good luck.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Brian Creasy, sir. I'm just locked up, Gambo. Just completely locked up.
I'm listening to you, and I'm like, man. Welcome to, and you said it twice. It's not like once it was a mistake. It was twice. I'm like, this, like, I'm thinking maybe you knew that he was like, maybe he was going to stop in and see a family member for a day, like tomorrow or something. That's what I was thinking.
Like to see the Cardinals win so the fans could troll me.
Yeah, the fans are going to troll me after that one. Thanks, Keyshawn. We appreciate it.
That's not what I meant to play.
I'm sorry. That's all right. Don't worry about it.
On this Tuesday afternoon, it's not Tuesday, you moron. It's Thursday afternoon.
That's the one you meant to play. That
was the classic.
On this Fruit Tuesday afternoon.
I miss Fruit Tuesday.
It's you know what? Those are my top three dumbest mistakes of all time on the air.
That was a good one because it was not once but twice.
Yeah.
Welcome. We can't wait to see you in the Valley. Da, 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 like.
Man, we've all been there. Just not very many of us do it with a microphone in front of our face, do we? When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, I'll try not to screw this one up. We're going to make our picks for all the other playoff games this weekend, not named the Arizona Cardinals, and we'll probably throw in our Cardinals pick in there, too. That's coming up here on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station.
Football Friday with Burns and Gambo. Presented by 72 Sold. Get your price. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
It's nice having Brian Greasy on the show. I highly doubt it will ever happen again, but it was nice having him on the show.
Hung up and he's like, man, those guys don't even know where the Cardinals are playing.
That's probably exactly what he did. He hung up the phone. Wow, man.
Yeah.
Okay.
Listen, I mean, you've got to have your list of top mistakes in this industry.
Yes.
You got to have your list.
You don't do what we do for a living with a microphone in front of your face and not screw up every now and then.
Right.
You just don't. You just don't. It's just a buzz. So what do you do?
I wonder if people listening thought the same thing that I did. That every time you kept saying, hey, you know, enjoy the trip to the Valley. Can't wait to see you in the Valley. And I wonder if they were like, does he know something? Like, I don't know. Like, is he coming to see his sister?
Yeah,
or
I don't know.
Does he have a business here and he's going to stop here before he goes to L.A.? Or
Maybe they did.
I just wonder if people were thinking the same thing I was, because I had no idea what the hell you were talking about.
I just figured
maybe you knew what was going on.
No. That's the thing is that I guess usually I do know what's going on enough to the point where you just assumed that I did know what was going on. So
yeah.
I had you fooled too, apparently. So our thanks to Brian Greasy. And again, I know full well the game is in Los Angeles. We had Tyler Drake in here earlier. I even told him to have a safe flight. Safe travels.
Yeah.
You get to go to L.A. Lucky you. So obviously I know where the damn game is.
Burns is thinking about that 7:30 cocktail tonight. Sitting outside in the backyard with a glass of wine.
Are you saying I've got 1 foot out the door, Gambo? Is that what you're implying?
Is that what you're implying? Put the fire on in the backyard. So I know you on Friday nights.
Yeah, that's typically
sushi, right? Friday night sushi.
Take out sushi and cocktails in the backyard. That's usually the plan. Yeah,
I know.
The plan.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. It sounds lovely, especially now because I made Brian Greasy think he was coming here for a game on Monday night. Anyway, all right, well, that's fun. We'll all laugh about that, and I'm sure through the magic of sound bites, we can relive that moment time and time again on the air in the years to come. But nobody cares about that now, Gambo. They care about our picks. They care about what we think is going to happen in Super Wild Card Weekend. Now,
let's go. Straight up, right? No point spread.
No point spread, just straight up.
Okay, right? Straight up.
So I'm going to write this down.
Let's see how we do.
See how we do. AFC game number one, 2:30 in the afternoon on Saturday. the fifth-seeded Vegas Raiders taking on the fourth-seeded Cincinnati Bengals. Who you got?
I am going to take the Bengals. And I think it'll be a close game. I'm going to take the Bengals.
I think this is going to be one of the better games of the weekend. I'm going to take the Cincinnati Bengals as well.
Okay.
6:15 on Saturday nights in chilly Buffalo, where the temperature is expected to be zero, literally zero. Six-seeded New England Patriots taking on the third-seeded Buffalo Bills.
I'm going Buffalo, even though I know we have to take some road teams here. I'm going Buffalo.
All right. Feel like I have to take a road team or two or maybe three. Going to take New England. I don't feel good about this one at all. I don't feel good about Mac Jones at all. I'm betting on Bill Belichick. I'm betting on Bill Belichick figuring out a way to slow down Josh Allen and make him make mistakes because he is prone to making mistakes. So I'm taking the Patriots. Now we fast forward to Sunday, the triple header. And it starts at 11 o'clock in the morning with the 7-seeded Philadelphia Eagles taking on the 2-seed Tampa Bay.
The Bucs will win the game.
I agree.
I do not have a road team yet, but I will have one.
I'm
going to have two.
With the next game, you're going to have two? Oh, I like that. Okay. The next game is also in the NFC, 2:30 in the afternoon, 6-seeded San Francisco against the 3-seeded Dallas Cowboys.
I am taking the 49ers.
I am taking the 49ers in this one as well, and I feel very, very good about this one. For a lot of reasons, I feel very good about this one. I think this one goes without saying, but I'll say it anyway. The 7-seeded Pittsburgh Steelers against the 2nd-seeded Kansas City Chiefs.
KC.
Yep. And then finally, 5th-seeded Arizona at the 4th-seeded Los Angeles Rams.
I am going to take the Cardinals.
Okay. Taking L.A.
Okay.
So you've got...
So what games do we differ on?
We differ on the Bills, New England. We differ on the Cardinals and Los Angeles.
Okay.
And that's it.
All right.
That's it. We're the same. I'm not going to change anything. But the one that I'm the least... Well, I'm the least certain about the Cardinals and the Rams. I'll just... Like, if we're doing, like, certainty points on this, which is sometimes what people do... The one I'm the least certain about is Arizona and the Rams. The next one after that is the Bengals and the Raiders. I would say that is the second game that I am the least certain about going in this weekend.
I think the Raiders can absolutely win that game.
I absolutely do, too.
Not comfortable in that game at all.
Nope, not one bit. And even I say that, even though New England and Bills, I think, are going to be very close, and you and I differ on our picks on that one. The one that I am not that confident about is the Bengals and the Raiders. The Cardinals and the Rams are first. If I were ranking this by what game I was the most confident in, I would have that one dead last. I think that one could come down to the smallest of margins in the fourth quarter on Monday night, which is probably why it's on Monday Night Football. I think the NFL looked at it and said, that's the best first-round matchup right there.
Yeah.
The Cardinals.
Yeah,
and the Rams.
Listen, I think, you know, the only game that, like, if you said, okay, you're in a survivor pool and you've got to pick one definite, I think the definite is Kansas City.
Yes.
I think the other definite's Tampa. Out of those two games, Kansas City, Pittsburgh, Tampa, Philadelphia, if I told you somebody's going to pull an upset, who would you take?
Eagles.
Me too.
Eagles.
Me too. So I'm not giving, you know, but the Kansas City Chiefs are not as well-rounded as a team as you'd like them to be. They're very good offensively. The Steelers, they are playing with house money, and they've got a good running game, and they feel confident that they can play with them. I don't see Pittsburgh being able to beat Kansas City. Tampa's without their top receiver, one of their top receivers. And, you know, I mean, last year in the first round, they almost lost to Washington. So I would probably say if I was going to pick an upset out of those two, I would take Philly.
Yeah, I think Philly's ability to run the ball, keep Tom Brady off the field, is something to potentially keep an eye on. But I just have very little faith that Pittsburgh's going to give Kansas City much of a game. Time for the Vizzy Hard Seltzer What's On Tonight. Games we're going to watch this evening. They are
You're
brought to you.
You're still here?
Look,
It's over. Go home.
I know you stepped away probably to go soak in the jacuzzi for 15 minutes while we were replaying Steve Keim.
I did not go in the jacuzzi.
But yeah, I'm still here. I'm manning the desk. You're there at home. If you drank, I would say you probably started making your first cocktail of the night, but
yeah,
you don't, so you didn't.
Yeah. Maybe I'll start to.
You work with a co-host.
I had a limoncello shot a couple weeks ago.
You did?
Yeah.
For what?
Went out to a restaurant, and the owner of the restaurant got me and Chelsea a shot of limoncello. Huh? It's like, all right, what the hell?
So every now and then you do. You imbibe every now and then.
Once in a while. Yeah, once in a blue moon. I'll take a shot of limoncello.
Well, tonight might be a good night for that. We'll see. The games that we're going to watch this evening, they're brought to you by Visi Hard Seltzer, the only hard seltzer crafted with antioxidant and vitamin C. Maybe you can have one of those. Proud sponsor of your Arizona Diamondbacks. Coyotes and the Avalanche, that is why we've got bonus Burns and Gambo tonight, because we have a 7 o'clock face-off between the Coyotes and the Avalanche that you'll be hearing right here on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station. So we have these 7 o'clock games. Pre-game starts at 6:30. We bridge the gap. And we go right until 6:30. We already have the Suns game on and underway. And actually at halftime, Suns are winning over the Pacers 46-38. DeAndre Ayton and Devin Booker have combined to go 11 of 23 from the floor. Everybody else is 4 of 20 from the floor.
Yuck.
Ayton and Booker have combined for 27 of the 46 points. Again, the Suns are up by 8. It's been a lot of 8. 19 points, 8 rebounds already at the half for DeAndre. Devin Booker has chipped in with 12 points, and he's hit a couple 3-pointers as well. He's not shooting great from the field, only 3 of 10. But yeah, it's those two guys carrying the load. Nobody else is making an impact on this game. And Sabonis for the Pacers, terrible start. Only 2 points so far in 17 minutes.
Not a good team. They want to blow that team up, right? They're not very good. They know they got to blow that thing up at some point.
Yeah, they do.
Talking about trading Sabonis and other players. So I think that they'll be very active at the deadline.
All right, I got to change my numbers here. I had to refresh the page. 21 points for DeAndre Ayton. It's still at halftime. But DeAndre's got 21-9 at halftime. So that even ups the amount that they have contributed to those teams. So
what time is our first football game tomorrow?
Tomorrow, I'm glad you asked. Our first football game is at...
What time's our first game tomorrow?
2:30 in the afternoon.
2:30, okay.
2:30 tomorrow. Let's go through... It's a good idea. Let's go through
this
again.
So that's the first game.
Yeah, Vegas Bengals tomorrow at 2:30 in the afternoon. That game is on NBC.
That's on NBC.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then CBS is home to the Patriots and the Bills at 6:15 tomorrow night.
Okay.
Fox on Sunday is going to have Philly and Tampa. CBS is going to have the 49ers and the Cowboys. Also, Gambo, available on Nickelodeon if you want to see somebody get slimed in the middle of that game. Remember they did that last year during the playoffs?
Did they do that last year?
They had, I remember.
Look at the Suns game right now. Suns Pacers. Look at the screen.
There's a dinosaur. There's the dinosaur. Yeah, there's the dinosaur. Yep.
Boom, boom. Everybody walked a dinosaur. Remember that? That is so funny, man. They are trolling Book. They are trolling Book in Indiana.
You know what? But don't you think
it's great?
Don't you think that Book is the guy who just absolutely welcomes something like that? Fine.
I don't think he minds it.
Yeah,
I mean, I think he's like
he literally told them when he's at the free throw line, he was motioning towards people to bring out the dinosaur. Like he was literally telling them to bring somebody out.
Bring the dinosaur to me so I can see the dinosaur. Yeah.
He got nicked a little bit with the like I don't want to be double teamed and pick up basketball, you know. So he's got a couple of those quirks, right? Things that seem to bother him.
Yo, totally. I'm glad you brought this up because this is a conversation that I think Bickley and Murata were having a couple of days ago. It's a Jurassic Park theme. This is what they played when they did the player intros for the Suns tonight, too.
Yeah.
That's funny. That's pretty funny.
That's outside. Which, by the way, on a totally unrelated note, since it's bonus Burns and Gambo.
Yeah.
They replay Jurassic Park all the time on like HBO and whatever. Man, that movie still holds up really well.
Jurassic Park?
That movie holds up really. That movie is
when the T-Rex breaks the paddock, I still get chills.
Yeah, it's really still very, and the special effects are starting to get a little old, but it's still a really, really good movie. Anyway, not for nothing. I'm sorry.
See if it's on right now.
I got distracted by that. Still a really good movie.
Transformers is on.
And
turn it off.
Yeah, not so much.
Transformers is on HBO right now. Then followed by iRobot. There's a whole bunch of other shows on there.
iRobot, you probably don't want to watch either.
The Wolverine.
That one was okay.
Euphoria.
That's the TV show with Zendaya.
Let's just go through the HBO guide and see what we like, see what we don't.
Literally, what's on tonight?
Remember, you guys aren't old enough. Eric, you and Mish. We used to get the TV guide in the Sunday paper.
Yes.
So that's how you knew what was on.
Like on the back pages, right?
I actually saved one. I actually have it was like you'd get your Sunday newspaper, and you would have a TV guide in there. And that was what you would use all week to find out what was on.
Yeah, in the daily edition of the paper, they would have on the back page of one of the sections, like, what was on tonight. But every Sunday, one of the inserts was an actual, like, TV guide that had the whole week's worth of programming.
You could plan out what you wanted to watch.
100%. Like, so you could flip, okay, what's going to be on Thursday? And you'd flip through the pages, and you'd see what was on Thursday. And, okay, it's a brand new Cheers this week on Thursday. Awesome, great. You know,
I even remember.
You know what's on right now? My Cousin Vinny. He's actually got the guy on the stand. How funny is that? We talked about this yesterday. My Cousin Vinny's on right now.
Your favorite movie lawyer of all time,
yeah.
Right? Joe Pesci?
I asked you who's the best movie lawyer. And there he is.
Yeah.
He's on the stand right now. I got to take a picture and show you. You'll get such a kick out of it.
Mitch, what were you going to say?
I was going to even say, I remember the days my mom having to set the VCR timer to go at this time so that the tape would properly record the whatever episode of whatever show she wanted to watch.
No doubt.
So
TiVo, TiVo was the greatest invention of all time. Because I remember the first time I knew a guy at a TiVo, and I was like, what? You could do what? I couldn't believe it. Like, you could, like, just press a button and it'll record the show for you on the TV. You don't need a cassette. I was blown away the first time I found out about TiVo.
That was definitely one of the greatest inventions of all time. I would put the VCR as one of the greatest inventions of all time, especially the idea that, wait a minute, I can go to a store for $3, you're going to give me this movie, and I can go home and I can watch it whenever I want, right?
And then I can rewind it and watch it again.
I can rewind it and watch it again. And then, even better, one of the best gifts I ever got in my entire life was when my late father brought home a bootlegged copy of The Empire Strikes Back way before it was ever on video cassette. I'm like, nobody else has this. I'm the only person in the world who has a copy of Empire Strikes Back on VCR. It was great.
So I dated a girl whose father owned like 5 video stores.
Really?
Oh, my God, yeah.
I would have loved
that. It was the best. We got all the free movies. We always had every time a movie came out, we got the movie right away. My dad owned like 5 video stores.
That's awesome. That's absolutely awesome. Yeah. No, what I was going to say about Booker is Vinny was telling the story the other day about how when Vinny was doing PA or something, he said something about Kobe Bryant. And apparently Kobe Bryant, the late Kobe Bryant, was just super pissed that Vinny said something that you wouldn't think would have been that big of a deal. And the point being that some players like Kobe, like Book, who just drained a 3, by the way, and the Suns are up 11.
That
guys like that will use the slightest of slights as motivation, right? The dinosaur thing, the raptor thing.
Bring it on.
You know, I'm going to use whatever I can find in my arsenal to motivate myself to kick your ass every single night.
Nobody was better than that than Reggie Miller. Reggie Miller thrived in those environments.
Yes.
Taunt me. Go ahead. I love it. I'm gonna knock down a 3, and I'm gonna put my hand to my ear, and I'm gonna shut you all up. He loved it.
Yeah,
he did. Lived for it.
He did. Kobe was good at it. Booker is the whole dinosaur thing, the whole double team thing. People giving him crap about it. He just does not seem to care at all. It's so the dinosaur thing is very funny. Whether it's the Pacers with a blow up dinosaur walking around on the sidelines there at the game, or whether it's playing the Jurassic Park theme music. Suns are up 51-40. That's going to do it for us. Coyotes hockey is next. We'll see you on Monday, straight up 2 o'clock here on the Burns and Gambo Show. Actually, at 1:30. We'll see you at 1:30.
Have a great night, everyone.
You're still here? It's over. Go home.
Go.